You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 27th of November 2019. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say today that we are welcoming back Carolyn Jaeger, the revisionist historian from CarolynJaeger.net. Carolyn, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Hi, Sven. I'm doing just fine. Real good.
It's good to hear from you again. You've had a couple of weeks off, and you're coming back with quite an explosive story for us today. You've discovered a book that Justin Welby has written, I believe, which turns Christian teaching on its head. You've written an article about this at your website, which I recommend people go and check out. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about this?
Yes, it's not a book exactly. It's a document. You know, an official document put out by a commission, you know, that was studying things, Christian-Jewish relations. They put out a report under the heading of the Church of England, of which this Justin Welby, who has quite an interesting, he is the Archbishop of Canterbury. And I assume from how I read it that the Archbishop of Canterbury is the top position in the Church of England. Is that right, Sven?
Yes, that's correct. He is. Yeah. He's the top head. Guy.
Right. So, you know, there was an article in the Guardian about it, which somehow I saw, and I thought, well, this is extreme. So I reading the whole article, and then I looked up the document, which I have a picture of it, the cover of it here on with the story. This is my latest post at CarolynJaeger.net, and it's headed "Jews in Britain own," in quotes, "the Church of England, says report." And I use that word "own" because I had the previous post I had written the week before was I titled "Jews in Germany Own the People's Only Soldiers Memorial Day." And there's a couple of stories in there, a couple of different events. But, you know, I thought it was just shocking that this German Memorial Day, so to speak, what we would call our, you know, military directed at the military Memorial Day, was honoring Jews and the Holocaust survivors and all this stuff. And Israel plays a big role in it. And you can't honor the actual soldiers. They can kind of honor, I think, maybe the soldiers of World War I, but not World War II. And the whole thing is just such a charade. And so, and all they gave were comments by the German Council of Jews, you know, the same old guy, people that are heads of that and what they have to say, which is all in that article. So when I came across this the following week, I said, well, this is just more, you know, Jews owning our societies and our institutions and so on. And so I titled it that way to kind of connect the two together. And this one was what we're focused on right now because of the election coming up and so on. There's further material on this from what there was when I wrote about it. But in this church document, I mean, it's shocking, and you have some good quotes from it.
I can come in with some of these quotes if you want, Carolyn, because, you know, I mean, what you say there about the Jews owning the church, you know, that's what is implied by this document. It's like Justin Welby is just taking instructions from the Jews, and they call him the Jewish Archbishop of Canterbury as well. They're that enamored with him. That's uh-huh. because his who he thought was his father was actually a Jew, but then he discovered that actually his mother had had an affair, so he wasn't actually a Jew, but they still love him. There are tons of articles about Justin Welby in the Jewish press, and his best friend is this Rabbi Ephraim Mervis, this one you mentioned there, that's interfering in politics today, and he's obviously had a big influence on this book. And some of these quotes that I pulled out from it, this is the first one. Christians have been guilty of promoting and fostering negative stereotypes of Jewish people that have contributed to grave suffering and injustice. They have a duty to be alert to the continuation of such stereotyping and to resist it. What about Jews? What about Jews promoting and fostering negative stereotypes of white people, negative stereotypes of Christians? What about all the mocking of Christianity that goes on in Hollywood? And what has this got to do with Christians? When have Christians promoted stereotypes and negative stereotypes of Jewish people? Mm-hmm. I mean, stereotypes are truthful, right, aren't they?
Right. And that's the point that I like to make all the time, is that this whole theme of anti-Semitism is how they get around all this stuff, or what they use, and we keep falling for it, or I don't know, I don't, and a lot of people don't, but the media does, and the establishment promotes it as if it's fully, there's just no question about it that whites have punished Jews with their terrible anti-Semitism for centuries. So we don't ever see any backing down from the Jews. We don't see the whites become aggressive and say, but you did this, this, and this. They always give in and say, well, a hoax, or that was not true. That was a
libel. That's their favorite one, isn't it?
A libel, yeah. And then we have these libels. They call them blood libels. And the Jews have carried out a lot of blood libels against Christians, and we never demand that they count for those. We always back down. So it's like there's a larger agreement somewhere at a higher level that this is the way it's going to be, or else the Jews are just so good at putting in people at our high levels, like this Justin Welby, who is easy to manage, you know, and who goes along with them. Because there's this more recent article that I just that you brought to my attention in The Guardian just today, that Welby is acknowledging the Church of England's own history of anti-Semitism. See, I mean, they just all go along. The church just all goes along with, yes, yes, we did do all these things against the Jews. Yes, yes, we did. We have a bad history. Well, we've changed now. And you know, we don't believe in that anymore. And so Welby was commenting on that. And here's a quote from him. None of us can afford to be complacent. Voicing words that commit to a stand against anti-Semitism requires a corresponding effort in visible action. So it's the Christians who have to do something about this, the Christians who have to speak out against anti-Semitism. And the Jews are always being treated as though they have not done anything wrong. They're always the victim. And this goes on and on, no matter how much we do. You know, and they just demand more. And I wanted to point out that, you know, this idea that there are talking points and that everybody goes along with them is being seen very, very clearly now in U.S. politics with this impeachment hearing and all this business of trying to impeach Donald Trump, our president, few commentators they are at Fox News. Fox News is not perfect, but they do support Donald Trump. overall. And they have commentators who constantly now point out how all the left media, which is all the media except for Fox News and a few things that aren't very well known, are all use the same words at any given time. Like every few days, there's a new word or a new phrase that is being used by everybody, you know. And like during the hearings, one of them was bombshell, and you know the information that was being somebody's, you know, a couple of people's testimony that was against Trump at the hearings. All these news organizations, their top commentators and so on, and use the same word. This was a bombshell. This was a bombshell. This was a bombshell. I mean, this is just one example of that comes to my mind that they do, and then they will show, you know, clips. Real fast clips from all these shows and all these well-known faces that you see that are the main news people for these networks, and they're all saying that, you know. And then a couple of days later, there's a new one, and they're all saying that, and it's all anti-Trump. So in this case, we've got this anti-Corbyn stuff going on in Britain, and this big election is coming up. And they're coming out against Corbyn, and they're using this Archbishop of Canterbury to help make Corbyn look like he is I'm not a Labour person, but still, they're just trying to smear and slam Corbyn as being anti-Semitic, which unfortunately he's not. I'd be happy if he was, but he's not. So, and this is you can use that word collusion. I mean, this is orchestrated from somewhere. And like, I think these network people on the air get these talking points or these words from the network heads. And so that's why they all use them, because they're given that. And then, where do they get them from? I think they get them from someone too. So well, it's, I think
they're getting it from
obvious.
The chief rabbi, Carolyn. They're getting it from the chief rabbi. I mean, this is the connecting factor here. And in this document that's been released, the afterword is written by the chief rabbi, and the chief rabbi is Justin Welby's best buddy. He goes everywhere with him, and it's the chief rabbi that's spoken out against Jeremy Corbyn, and Justin Welby jumps along in the background there cheerleading for this chief rabbi. And just the fact that this rabbi has the finishing word in this document that's supposed to be directed towards Christians, that tells Christians they've got to listen carefully to what the Jews have to say, and it even dares to say that biblical texts need correcting. This is another quote here. Lay and ordained teachers and preachers, including those who work with children and young people, have a particular responsibility to correct untrue negative images of Judaism in their interpretation and exposition of biblical texts. So they've got to correct the Bible here. That's right.
Well, the Jews have been doing that for a long time because they've been changing. They changed the whole church teaching about the Jews being responsible for Christ's crucifixion and death. And then they also, the passion story that they forced that church in Germany that had that world famous passion play every year or every other year or something at Easter time. They forced them to change the whole narrative of the, you know, important details of the story that they were following the Bible exactly, and they made him change it, and they finally did. And this is, you know, this is incredible power, and it just shows that the Christian side doesn't have, it's not just they don't have any backbone, they don't have any power. The Christian side doesn't have any power. Why do they put in place, this Justin Welby, who I've learned has not been the Archbishop for all that long, And he thought he was half Jewish all his life. He just learned that he wasn't a couple years ago. Because of this affair his mother had, and it's clear they did a DNA test and everything. So, it's not, there's no question about it, but they picked him, and he didn't get, really serious about religion until he was in his 30s, and his daughter was killed in an automobile accident. Then he had this big thing, and he joined the clergy and so on, and he rose fast. These people always rise fast. You always hear that. They rise up real fast, like Eisenhower in the military, back when he became that four-star general all of a sudden. Things like that. They rise up real fast. And then, now it may not be because he promised anything, but they just, it became known that he was very Jew-friendly. And it was believed that he was half-Jewish. And he believed he was half Jewish. So he believed in this conversation with the Jews, you know, the Jewish Christian commissions that they started having back with the Vatican II Council, I think. And let's talk and let's have discussions instead of being opposed to one another, which they should be opposed to one another, but they're not. So now, he just keeps carrying it further and further along. Why do Jews have so much power? They're smarter, I think. They're more clever. And the Christians are, too many of them are seriously want to do good and want to be humble and, you know, penitent and so on. And then the ones who the Jews like and pick get promoted and get into powerful positions. And I think that's how it's come about.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think that's probably how Justin Welby got to the position that he is because he was so friendly to the Jews. I mean, he's letting them get away with murder. Just listen to this other quote. England has its own role in this history, with a claim to being the birthplace of what became known as the blood libel, where Jews were falsely accused of murdering Christian children to make Passover matzo with their blood. Falsely accused of murdering Christian children. Now, what about all these saints, these children that were made into saints after that was done to them? What about all the courts that found the Jews guilty? And the Jews were the king's property. They had the very best lawyers and they were still found guilty. I can't recall there ever being a court case where they went to court and said, oh, actually, that was false. That was a libel. That was a false accusation against the Jews. That never happened. They were found guilty. And here you've got the Archbishop of Welby falsifying history.
Canterbury.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, Archbishop of Canterbury. And he's falsifying history. He's falsifying history here and saying it was a false accusation in a Christian manifesto document, whatever it is. Sorry, go on, Carolyn.
That's right. No, I'm sorry, I'm breaking in. But you're right. That I did quite a number of shows and did research into these so-called blood libels against the Jews for draining blood from Christian children, and they all turn out to be that the evidence was there. And they were found guilty. And then later, they canceled that out. So they just politically got, and they always had some big, well-known, what are these highly respected type, like Brandeis and people like that, who would get into the deal later, and they would convince somehow the church and other authorities to say, well, okay, to cancel that and say, well, it wasn't false. The Jews didn't do this. But it was never done the proper way. And now they just go around calling it a lie and a blood libel when it was actually true. But again, it just comes down to, why do we back up? Why do we back down? Why do we let this happen? You could say there's just some kind of a power thing, you know, the Rothschilds or something. Okay, they're very powerful, but And yeah, they do. It is probably has a lot to do with money. They do control tons and tons of money and banks and so on. And so to make things work out smoothly, I guess the powers, the Christian powers that be, decide that it's easier to let the Jews off the hook and try to find a peaceful solution than to have them against us in such a strong way. Because they do threaten with, like, destroying everything, destroying civilization. I don't know whether they could do it. I don't think they could, but I don't know why we backed down. But what's being used now is this idea of anti-Semitism. And this is what's behind my thinking all the time, that we cannot, and we have, everybody. I bet a whole lot of people listening today are listening to this program. And listen to your network even, still will, say that anti-Semitism is wrong. They would deny, they don't want to be an anti-Semite. As though, you see, they've succeeded in making that something wrong. When there's nothing wrong with being against the Jewish race and religion for its behavior, and its treatment of Christians, right? You know, it's really the other way around of who's suffering from this.
We've been brainwashed.
Most white people have been brainwashed into thinking that we have to be fair and that the Jews did suffer the way they say they did, and they didn't. None of those pogroms are as bad as they are now reported in history to be. They weren't that bad.
And there was all a reason for them
right.
starting in the first place. 109 countries
right.
didn't just suddenly decide to wake up in the morning and turn against the Jews. They had reasons for doing that. I think with the anti-Semitism thing, you should ask people to define what Semitism is. As you know, what is Semitism? What are the things that the Jews are known for doing? Well, usury, pornography, gambling, starting wars. Well, of course, any normal person is against those things. You know, the word itself, anti-Semitism.
Yeah, the reason they like anti-Semitism is that it doesn't say anti-Jewish. We should be anti-Jewish or anti-Judaic or something like that, but they won't have that. So they want it to be anti-Semitism, even though they're part of this large Semitic race, you know, which is takes in all these people
takes
who are actually religiously Muslim. So,
takes in Palestinians as well, doesn't it?
Go ahead.
That's the thing. It takes in Palestinians as well, you know, and Semites.
Yes, exactly.
Palestinians and
exactly.
Israelis.
Exactly. So they don't want it to be specific. They don't care that they're accused of using that word. It doesn't make sense. They just throw that off. You know, that doesn't bother them a bit. They just keep doing it. And they always, you know, everybody goes along with them, but mostly it's the media that goes along with them. And it is true that, that the media is overall run by Jews. The Jews got control of the media. The Jews are getting, or maybe have already gotten control of the Christian church. And the Jews got control of the banks and the money, and the Jews got control of judicial systems in a lot of places.
That's
maybe
the problem,
not
Carolyn.
As much, but
that's why people don't stand up against them, is because the people that are in the positions of power, they've been put there by the Jews. As you know, Justin Welby is the Archbishop because the Jews approved of him. They don't want Jeremy Corbyn to win this election because the Jews don't approve of him. They do approve of Boris Johnson. This chief rabbi, again, he's good friends with Boris Johnson and he supports Boris Johnson. And it's the people that the Jews want get into these positions of influence and power. And that's why nobody stands up to them. Because they're all Shabbos goys that are in the positions that are in public and that would be seen if they did speak out against them. And I think with the church, it's been since the Second World War. I think before then, I think there was a traditionalist faction in the church and there was a progressive faction. At the end of the war, in all the churches, the progressive faction took over. particularly in the Catholic Church, you get Vatican II, and they reject all the previous teaching that was on the Jews. And also in the Anglican Church, the Church of England, you've got this dialogue and this. I mean, the Anglican Church has transsexual celebrations. It has transsexual ministers. It has gay blessings. It has black priests. All these sort of things that would have been unheard of in the 30s, and they've all come about since the Second World War. I think the progressive faction just did away with the traditional faction. They were able to get rid of them all. But up until that time, I think there was, you know, you still had traditionalists involved in there. But and as well, you think, well, they've done this to the government. They've done it to the church. They've done it to all the levers of state, basically, have been infiltrated by them. And it has that influence. You know, I guess we're lucky mm-hmm. we can still talk about it here, really.
Well, yes. And we retreat. Why do we retreat against, you know, in the face of this? We have the power and then we retreat. They outwit us in this area somehow. They make us feel guilty. They play on that, and we do it. We don't seem to have the resistance built into us that we need. We're lacking that, and they play on that. That is very, very cunning of these people. These people don't. You should never. I've said never, never feel sorry for the Jews. Never feel sorry for the Jews. They are on top of everything and always have been. If they sacrifice some of their people, like in the so-called with the National Socialist Germany, in order to make a case, a stronger case for their survival, you know, and their power, that's they don't mind doing that. They sacrifice their own people in order to build their strength overall, and never feel sorry for them. And we back up, and this is what we've given our powers away, and we have. But then we have people, just say going back to post World War II, we had all these people in our government, all these communists, and a lot of them were Jews who had gotten into our government under that horrible FDR, and they were giving everything away. You know, wherever the Jews get in charge, they just, you know, turn everything to evil. The United States grabbed a whole bunch of stuff, no doubt about it, and it's been giving it away ever since. And the people who get it are our enemies, not our friends. So we have to take the blame for this, and it's this progressive thinking. Well, you know, it comes always down again, Sven, to this post-war. So Adolf Hitler had the right idea. That's all there is to it. And that's why they are so viciously hold the line against any kind of rise of Adolf Hitler. That's why they have made everything to do with so-called Nazism and so on the ultimate evil, and they talk like that, you know, and it's ridiculous if you know any history, the way they demonize it, but it's extreme. And this is, unfortunately, this is in Great Britain, in the United States, because they got their victory from defeating National Socialist Germany. So they're boxed in or bought in to keeping that going. So we're in a real quandary. That has to be unloosed. There are people working hard to do that, but we're up against a real power block there. And most white people are convinced of it. Most of our European people that are left from all that were murdered during these wars that they want to blame on Adolf Hitler. It wasn't him that wanted that to happen. We killed off so many of the best of us. So we've done a terrible thing, but we have to clearly see where the enemy is go ahead.
I think one of the things they do, though, they play down the support that Adolf Hitler had. You know, they'll play down how popular the British Union of Fascists were, how popular the Iron Guard were, how popular Leon de Grel was, and how popular the Waffen-SS were, and all these, you know, these brave nationalists from the European countries that went to fight on the Eastern Front. All of that's, you know, they're trying to keep a lid on it. They just want people to think, well, there was this devil man that just rose up in Germany and everybody was against him. They weren't against him. Most people mm-hmm. were against the war. That's what they really wanted to stop was the war. They didn't want another war. And once they were involved in it, they just wanted it to end. You know, that's
they're against the communists.
Yeah.
They're against the Soviet Union. We have to make clear that it was, the so-called freedom loving nations of mainly Britain and the United States that totally supported the Soviet Union in this because they wanted to destroy Germany. And we have to look at that more clearly than we've ever done, and they don't want us to look at that either. So, but...
That's another point there that, you know, that people miss. It was the support for Stalin and the new USSR and then how that turned out at the end of the war. But I think all of this stuff and, you know, Justin Welby coming out for the Jews and this rabbi, chief rabbi interfering in politics. I mean, it does all help to get people to wake up and start thinking, hang on a minute.
So this is going on in Britain today, and we've got this election coming up and everything. So why are the British people falling for this? Why do they fall for it? And look who you read about in the news. From, of course, The Guardian is very left wing. But even in The Telegraph is, I guess, one of the better of the main establishment news outlets. But, you know, you read about Jews all the time and they're talked about like we should listen to them. And that horrible woman who's now running as a Lib Dem.
Joe Swinson. Well, this is the thing, though, Carolyn. You know, it's because of that that the Labour Party are being accused of anti-Semitism, because there are a lot on the left that are now questioning.
Well, we need to stand up for anti-Semitism. We need to defend anti-Semitism. And this is what gets me. I guess my main thing is that the whites, even whites among the pro-white whites, don't stand up against anti-Semitism. They will say, oh, I'm not anti-Semitic. They will agree with that. All the Christians will agree with that. But yet anti-Semitism, of course, it's misnamed. But what it means is we should be saying, well, there's a lot of reason for it. And we need to allow these people to speak and so on. They should not, because this shutting down the speech based on anti-Semitism is the big thing that's going on now, and it just keeps spreading. It's like creeping along and getting stronger and stronger. And the whole belief and defense of free speech is weakening. It's weakening because our people are so damn weak that they let these labels and things scare them off, and there's not enough people who are standing up for it. Even if you have, like, I don't know, the conservative movement is so weak, and it goes along with all these things, and which is really anti-free speech. And they don't do their job properly. They're friendly with Jews too. You just can't be friendly with Jews. I hate to end on that note. You give us a better note to end on.
I just say people need to grow a backbone. People need to grow a backbone. That's what it is. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Carolyn. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.